Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from an inquiry into the obligations of Christians to use means for the conversion of the heathens by William Carey. That's quite a title, but it says what it needs to say. He's saying that we don't need to wait for another outpouring. We don't need to wait for another great commission. We have the means now. If it takes money to preach the gospel, we have the money. We have the means. Let's use the means to convert the heathens. I did section one last time. We'll do about half of section two, which, as he writes, contains a short review of former undertakings for the conversion of the heathen. He's going to give a history of the Christian church in terms of their missionary outreach. He says, before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the whole world were either heathens or Jews, and both, as to the body of them, were enemies to the gospel. After the resurrection, the disciples continued in Jerusalem until Pentecost, being daily engaged in prayer and supplication, and having chosen Matthias to supply the place of Judas in the apostolic office. On that solemn day when they were all assembled together, a most remarkable effusion of the Holy Spirit took place, and a capacity of speaking in all foreign languages was bestowed upon them. This opportunity was embraced by Peter for preaching the gospel to a great congregation of Jews and proselytes, who were from Parthia and Media, Elam, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, the proconsular Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Crete, Arabia, Rome, and so on. And at the first effort, God wrought so powerfully that 3,000 were converted, who immediately after were baptized and added to the church. Before this great addition, they consisted of about 120 people. But from that time, they continually increased. It was but a little after this that Peter and John, going up to the temple, healed the lame man. This miracle drew a great multitude together, and Peter took occasion, while they stood wondering at the event, to preach Christ to them. Consequence was that 5,000 more believed. This was not done without opposition. The priests and Sadducees tried all the methods they could to prevent them from preaching the gospel. The apostles, however, asserted their divine warrant, and as soon as they were set at liberty, they continued on in preaching the gospel. They addressed God, and they prayed that a divine power might attend their labors, and which petition was heard, and their future ministry was very successful. On account of their necessities, who were engaged in this good work, those amongst them who had possessions or goods sold them and devoted the money to pious uses. About this time, a man and his wife, out of great pretensions to piety, sold an estate and brought part of the money to the apostles, pretending it to be the whole. For which dissimulation, both he and his wife were struck dead by the hand of God. This awful catastrophe, however, was the occasion of many more men and women being added to the church. The miracles wrought by the apostles, the success attending their ministry, stirred up greater envy in the priests and Sadducees who imprisoned them, from which confinement they were soon liberated by an angel, upon which they went immediately, as they were commanded, and preached in the temple. Here they were seized and brought before the council, where Gamaliel spake in their favor, and they were dismissed. After this, they continued to prosecute their work, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. By this time, the church at Jerusalem was so increased that the multiplicity of its temporal concerns was the occasion of some neglects, which produced a dissatisfaction. The apostles therefore recommended to the church to choose seven pious men, whose office it would be to attend upon its temporal affairs, and that they might give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, the apostles might. 7 were accordingly chosen, over whom the apostles prayed and ordained them to the office of deacons by imposition of hands. And these things being settled, the church increased more and more. One of these deacons, whose name was Stephen, being a person of eminent knowledge and holiness, wrought many miracles and disputed with great evidence and energy for the truth of Christianity, which raised him up a number of opponents. These soon procured his death and carried their resentment so far as to stir up such a persecution that the church, which till now had been confined to Jerusalem, was dispersed. And all the preachers, except the apostles, were driven thence and went everywhere preaching the word. A young man whose name was Saul was very active in this persecution. He had been educated under Gamaliel. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a person of promising genius, by profession a Pharisee, and much attached to the Jewish ceremonies. When Stephen was stoned, he appeared much pleased with it and had the custody of the clothes of his executioners, and from that time was fired with such a spirit of persecution himself that he went about dragging some to prison, compelling others to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus. Neither was he contented with exercising his rage at Jerusalem, but he went to the chief priests and obtained testimonials of authority to carry on the same work at Damascus. But on his way, he was almost ready to enter into the city, and the Lord changed his heart in a very wonderful manner, so that instead of entering the town to persecute, he began to preach the gospel as soon as he was able. This presently brought upon him the same persecution which he had designed to exercise upon others, and even endangered his life, so that the brethren found it necessary to let him down the city wall in a basket by night. And so he escaped the hands of his enemies. And from thence he went to Jerusalem, where he preached the word. But being persecuted there, he went to Caesarea, from thence to Tarsus. In the time of this trouble in the church, Philip went and preached at Samaria with great success. So great was the work that an impostor who had deceived the people with many tricks for a long time was so amazed and even convinced as to profess himself a Christian and was baptized, but was afterwards detected and appeared to be a hypocrite. Besides him, a great number believed in reality, and being baptized, a church was formed there. Soon after this, the Lord commanded Philip to go the way which led from Jerusalem to Gaza, which he did. And there he found a eunuch of great authority in the court of Ethiopia, to whom he preached Christ, who believed and was baptized, after which Philip preached at Ashdod or Azotus. And about the same time, Peter went to Lydda, or Diospolis, and he cured Aeneas of a palsy, which was a means of the conversion, not only of the inhabitants of that town, but also of the neighboring country called Sauron, the capital of which was Lasharon. And while he was there, a circumstance turned up which tended much to the spread of the truth. A woman of Joppa, a seaport town in the neighborhood, she was dying. And so they sent to Lydda for Peter, who went over, and when he had prayed, she was raised to life again, which was an occasion of the conversion of many in that town. Peter continued there preaching for some time and lodged at the house of a tanner. Now, another circumstance also tended to the further propagation of Christianity, for a Roman military officer who had some acquaintance with the Old Testament scriptures, but was not circumcised, was one day engaged in prayer in his house at Caesarea when an angel appeared to him and bade him send for Peter from Joppa to preach in his house. Before this, the work of God had been wholly confined to the Jews and Jewish proselytes. Even the apostles appeared to have had very contracted ideas of the Christian dispensation. But now, God, by a vision, discovered to Peter that Christianity was to be spread into all nations. So he accordingly went and preached at the house of Cornelius at Caesarea. When several were converted and baptized, and the foundation of a church was laid in that city. Some of the dispersed ministers, having fled to Antioch in Syria, began to preach to the Greeks in that city about the same time, and had good success, upon which the apostles sent Paul and Barnabas, who instructed and strengthened them. And a church was formed in that city also, which in a little time sent out several eminent preachers. In the Acts of the Apostles, we have an account of four of the principal journeys which Paul and his companions undertook. The first, in which he was accompanied by Barnabas, is recorded in the 13th and 14th chapters. It was the first attack on the heathen world. It was a journey into the Lesser Asia. In their way, they passed over the island of Cyprus. No sooner had they entered on their undertaking than they met with great difficulty. For Mark, whom they had taken as their minister, their servant, deserted them and returned to Jerusalem, where it seems he thought he would enjoy the greatest quiet. Well, Paul and Barnabas went forward. In every city they preached the word of the Lord, entering into the Jewish synagogues, first preaching Christ to them, and then to the Gentiles. They were heard with great candor and eagerness by some, rejected by others with obstinacy and wrath, and cruel persecution. Once while they had enough to do to restrain the people from worshiping them as gods, soon after Paul was stoned, dragged out of the city, left for dead. Having penetrated as far as Derbe, they thought proper to return by the way that they came. And they called at every city where they had sown the good seed, and found in most, if not all these places, some who had embraced the gospel. And they exhorted and strengthened them in the faith, formed them into a church state, and ordained them elders, fasted and prayed with them. And so, having commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed, they returned to Antioch in Syria, from whence they first set out, and they rehearsed to the church all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. About this time, a dispute arising in the churches concerning circumcision, Paul and Barnabas were deputed to go up to Jerusalem to consult the apostles and elders on the subject. This business being adjusted, they, accompanied with Judas and Silas, returned to Antioch with a general resolution and continued there for a season, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Well, Paul now proposed to Barnabas, his fellow laborer, that they might visit their brethren in the places where they had already been and see how they did. To this, Barnabas readily acceded, but a difference arising between them about taking John Mark with them, who had deserted them before. Because of that difference, these two eminent servants of God were parted asunder, and they never appear to have traveled together any more. They continued, however, each to serve in the cause of Christ, though they could not walk together. Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus, his native island. Paul took Silas and went through Syria and Cilicia to Derbe and Lystra, cities where he and Barnabas had preached in their first excursion. Here they found Timothy, a promising young man, whom they encouraged to engage in the ministry. Paul, being now at Lystra, which was the boundary of his first excursion, and having visited the churches already planted, and delivered to them the decrees of the apostles and elders relating to circumcision, seems to have felt his heart enlarged, and essay to carry on the glorious work of preaching the gospel to the heathen to a greater extent. With Silas and Timothy, he in his second journey took a western direction, passing through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. Having preached the word in these parts with considerable success, he and his companions wished to have gone into the proconsular Asia and afterwards essayed to go into Bithynia, but it was forbidden of the Holy Ghost, who seems to have had a special design of employing them elsewhere. Passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas on the seacoast, and here a vision appeared to Paul, in which he was invited to go over to Macedonia. Obedient to the heavenly vision, greatly encouraged by it, they with all speed crossed the Aegean Sea, and passing through the island of Samothracia, they landed at Neapolis, went from thence to Philippi, the chief city of that part of Macedonia. It was here that Paul preached on a Sabbath day to a few women by a riverside, and Lydia, a woman of Thyatira, was converted and baptized, and her household with her. It was here that a poor girl who brought her employers considerable profit by foretelling events followed the apostles, had that spirit of divination ejected, on which account her masters were much irritated, raised a tumult, the effect of which was that Paul and Silas were imprisoned. But even this was overruled for the success of the gospel, in that the keeper of the prison and all his house were thereby brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and were baptized. From Philippi they passed through Amphipolis, Apollonia, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, preaching the gospel wherever they went. And from hence Paul took ship and sailed to Syria, only giving a short call at Ephesus, determining to be at Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. And having saluted the church, he came to Caesarea, and from thence to Antioch. Well, here ended Paul's second journey, which was very extensive, and took up some years of his time. He and his companions met with their difficulties in it, but had likewise their encouragements. They were persecuted at Philippi, as already noticed, generally found the Jews to be their most inveterate enemies. These would raise tumults, inflame the minds of the Gentiles against them, and follow them from place to place, doing them all the mischief in their power. Now, this was the case especially at Thessalonica, Berea, and Corinth. But amidst all their persecutions, God was with them, strengthened them in various ways. At Berea they were candidly received, and their doctrine fairly tried by the Holy Scriptures. Therefore it is said, many of them believed. At other places, though they affected to despise the apostle, yet some clave unto them. At Corinth opposition rose to a great height, but the Lord appeared to his servant in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, because I have many people in this city. And the promise was abundantly made good in the spirit discovered by Gallio, the proconsul, who turned a deaf ear to the accusations of the Jews and nobly declined interfering in matters beside his province. Upon the whole, a number of churches were planted during this journey, which for ages after shone as lights in the world. Well, that's all the time we have today. Next time when we deal with Carrie, we're going to talk about the third journey and the rest of Paul's life and the rest of the book of Acts, in summary, of course, as this has been, if you noticed, I'm sure you noticed, just a summary of the book of Acts and how the gospel was preached here and preached there by God sending people out. They were using the means that God gave them to get the word out. We aren't told all the stories, just a couple of the apostles and what they did. But what they did was wonderful. Carey is going to finish the book of Acts next time, and then he's going to go on into church history. And just take it from where it leaves off in Acts 28 and show what God did in Acts 29, up until his time anyway, which was the early 19th century. Okay, that's that. Thank you so much for being here. Works of several other great men of God are on this site. Just click on series. And do check my new website, FaulknerTales.com. And do especially, I trust, you will go to the blog called Cries from Among Us. And that's exactly what it is. I'm recording, I'm reporting to you the cries that are coming from people of God, young people of God, from within, unfortunately, some Christian places. And they're calling out to you. It's at www.teengulag.com. I hope that you'll go check that. That's a blog. Faulkner Tales is another podcast like this one. But Cries from Among Us is a blog, a written thing. All right, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk again soon right here. Amen.